So the goal in this teaching has actually been changing. Every week when I do it, it seems to change, to change focus. But let me, it started out with finances, but it's just grown so much bigger than that. So this is mostly just sharing. It's mostly just talking. Christianity doesn't end at salvation, and then we just hang on for the rapture. It's the start of a partnership with the bridegroom to get to know him. He wants to change your world. He wants to change, first, which means first of all you. Then he wants to change the world around you, which is, you know, the sort of the immediate circle, maybe your workplace, maybe your friends, and job as a minimum, wherever. Maybe not the job, but people in the job that you're in. Of course, if you're an employer or supervisor, he's going to show you better how to do all of that. But he's looking for a partnership to bring his views. That's why it says God's views. God's views into your world. Some people have bigger influence than what I just said. It may be a countywide, or it may be a statewide, or national, international, who knows. That's God's choice. But most of it's as simple as change my views, change the family that I'm associated with, views that I have influence over, and then the area around us. We tend to be really ambitious, and some of it, that is true. But he also says we need to take care of those basics before he gives us a whole lot of influence out beyond that. But with he is the senior partner and we're the junior partner. And that's a big deal. That's why we talked about that point so much, number one. And I'm not going to go into it anymore. We've talked a lot about it. But he's the senior partner, we're the junior partner. But he puts us in a high position and he gives us high responsibilities. And he gives us more and more responsibilities and more influence if we do it the way the owner works. It's like John and Trini work for, I don't know, is Shaw the biggest company still, or is it Mohawk now in this area? Okay, it's a big company anyway. And I'm sure, because they got good positions, they get some liberty and some leeway, but in the end, they can't fundamentally change whoever the CEO is now. I don't know who the CEO is. It doesn't matter. But they're not going to fundamentally change the CEO's vision. They've got to work in that. And that's the same way with Christianity. He gives us lots of vision, gives us lots of opportunities, but he also says, this is the way we're going to do this. Now, you can choose to not do it that way. He does that. I mean, he gives us total freedom. But when we do it his way, these things start aligning in our life. I love number two. We talked a lot about it last week, so I'm not going to go into it anymore. I've sort of been bouncing around with these. When we do it our way, you're only as good as you are. You can only do with as much as you have to do with. You're limited by your resources. But when he calls you forward and he calls you to do something, you're then limited by this, and you're aligned saying, I'm 100% behind you. You're the owner, I'm not. You're only limited by what the senior partner's resources are. That's a big deal. So when he gives you something, he says you can influence your family or build this business or make a difference at work, you almost always overwhelmed. Our first thought is, I don't have the resources to do this. This could be the understanding. In my job, it's more the understanding as a software developer. I'm like constantly going, I have no idea what I'm doing right now. I used to know, but the last year, I'm like, what the heck is this stuff I'm trying to do and code? They put me in a new group, and it's a whole new way of doing it. And so I am very limited. And every single day for the last 5 or 6 months, I'm not exactly, it's like, Lord, you probably understand this programming. I'm being sarcastic. I'm saying, you understand this programming. You understand the technical stuff. I need, and we're going to get to that on number five, God will help you solve your problems versus being on your own. It's pretty self-explanatory. We'll talk about it. But we need that. And so every day last week, usually by 10 o'clock, I am so frustrated. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I have no idea how to get through this technique. It's a technical thing. And so I have to walk out, get up. It's nice to be able to walk around the auditorium or the building, but you can do it at your house. Or if you're on the job, maybe go to the break room. Just don't speak in tongues and then kick you out. Speak in tongues, but don't let them see you do it. Do it in the stall and they think there's a crazy guy in there. And I just calm down and go, I need your help. God helps us solve problems versus being on our own. But you have to be aligned with them. And we've talked a lot about that, and we are. You do that to the best you know how. You submit yourself every morning. Go, I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need your understanding. And he makes the difference there. And so partnership with him is limited by the senior partner. And that's how it is on earth. If you're in a part, I've been in a business with partnership in the past. You're limited by whoever has the majority, 51% of the shares. Or if you're, there's different corporate structures, but you get the point. You are limited by them. You may even be, and so it's the same way with God. And the good thing is, he's unlimited. Now, he'll give you everything he needs for your assignment. And part of this, I love this number four. We haven't talked about this. With God, we have favor versus having to find favor. Now, I want to apply this. We know positionally we are his son slash daughter. We know positionally we're at the right hand of the Father. But I want to talk about the world. It says in Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God. You have favor with God right now. You're at the right hand of God's Father, right hand of Father God. You are saved, et cetera, et cetera. But it goes on. And in stature and in favor with God and all the people. I love some translations. I wish I'd gotten the other translation. In favor with man. Now, how does this apply? You won't get very far in this world unless you have favor with man. We need an advancement of our jobs and in our families and whatever. The kingdom is moved forward by relationships. So in the ministry and in godly things, it's moved forward by relationships. That same principle applies to the secular, non-Christian world. It is moved forward by relationships. There is some categories, you're just super uber geek, super skilled, but nobody likes you. They'll keep you around because of your value, but as soon as they can get rid of you, they'll get rid of you. If you heard the phrase, you get promoted not by what you know, but by who you know, there's a lot of truth to that. Because it's a biblical principle. I'm not saying you can abuse it, but it's a biblical principle of relationships. In business, you need favor with customers. If you're an employee, you need favor with employees around you. And that's just a fact of life. Maybe you say, maybe it shouldn't be that way. Well, it is. Now, this is what you can do. Every morning, get up and go, Father, I need supernatural favor with whatever you need supernatural favor with. An employer, whatever. Our company is just, I work for a company, but they are on contract to the federal government. So we're federal contractors. Over the last 8 or 9 months, because have you ever heard the DOGE stuff? They've been cutting stuff out of everything. We went through 2 DOGE contract cuts. It wasn't performance. It wasn't we were doing a bad job. You just ain't going to get as much money. And so we've gone, so they just came in a week later, 2 layoffs. One was 2 or 3 months ago. I was on a team of 6 developers. 2 of them, they just let them go. They didn't do a bad job. I think they did a good job. They did good work ethic, but there wasn't any more money. And so the Lord, and so I've been through two of those in the last 8 or 9 months, and I'm like, why did they pick those two guys to lay off instead of me? Because I'm the older guy, probably made more money, more senior, la, la, la. I don't know, but I just felt the Lord, these are one of the cases that at this point, I've been laid off 3 times before, it could happen again, but he's like, you have favor with man whenever they made out the list that I supernaturally gave you that you didn't control. So I've been working all of my life. I've just learned promotions come. Obviously, you got to work hard. I mean, there's biblical principles there. But most of the promotions I got and most of the things I got, I didn't have any authority over. And I'm like, how the heck did this happen? He gave favor to me with the people that needed it behind the scenes. So if you'll stay rightly aligned. Like I said, I have been laid off 3 times. I'm not saying that you never get laid off, but if you do, the Lord's going to do whatever He needs to do to transition you to the next thing. But I've had to, even now, they're talking about end of September, we may lose this whole contract and none of us have jobs. So I just every day, Father, thank you. I am not limited by my resources. I'm limited by your resources. And if somebody else gets the contract, if you want me to continue doing what I'll do, supernaturally behind the scenes, you move kings' hearts, you move presidents' hearts, you move businesses' hearts to do behind the scenes what you want me to do, because I'm not going to play the manipulation game and try to get myself noticed beyond what makes sense. I trust in you to give me favor because you're the senior partner. And this gives you rest. And so apply that. Get rightly aligned. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. And realize He can do amazing things behind the scenes. He will bring people along to help you that you would have never picked, but it was the right pick. He will promote you as you need to be promoted in whatever. And that's not just business. And so, it's a much more relaxed way to live because you're not trying to control and orchestrate every part of your life. You stay close to Him and you control and orchestrate what He delegates to you or what you know is your duty. This last one, it's not the last one, it's the fifth one. We got more after this. I love this one. God helps us solve problems versus being on our own. I already talked about with the software. It's perfect. Proverbs 18:12 says this. I, wisdom. Wisdom is personified in Proverbs. It's made to look like a person. And if you read it, you go, what's this is unusual writing. Wisdom is usually something you get. But in Proverbs, it's often personified as a person. That tells you right there, your wisdom comes from a person. It's the Holy Spirit who's the teacher. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. Now here's the last part of verse 12. I know wisdom is a person. It's not just facts. So you can go, Holy Spirit, I need wisdom. I need understanding. I need knowledge. And I'm not going to take time to study it tonight, but those three words, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, are actually linear. They're progressive. They mean different things. You cannot become wise without understanding, and you cannot get understanding without knowledge. So He first gives you facts, which are knowledge. Then He gives you an understanding, now I see why that fact is true. You know, simple. And then when you apply the knowledge and understanding repeatedly, you become wise. What would be a good example? Okay, so you got a fact that if an apple falls from the tree, it goes down. That's the fact. The understanding is understanding gravity. Oh, the apple always falls down. Why? The principle of gravity. Of course, that was done 400 years ago with Sir Isaac Newton. And then wisdom is, how can I apply this principle of gravity in my life? I can put up a water slide into my pool. It works great. Proverbs 8:12b part. I know where to discover knowledge. That's the first step. And discernment. Jump down to verse 14. Common sense and success belong to me. How many of you want common sense? How many of you want success? I know it's a rhetorical question. The second part of verse 14. Insight and strength are mine. Insight. I'm telling you, we need insight on our jobs. We need insight into relationships. Why is this crazy relative acting this way? They have lost their minds. Well, it comes from wisdom, which is a person, and asking. He'll start giving you knowledge, start giving you discernment, start giving you understanding. And he does this, I don't want a spirit, it's not just in the church, it's in every area of your life. He understands what's going on. He understands the problem. So whatever problem you have in relationship, in jobs, in family, whatever. Just start asking him. Sometimes he'll point you to a person. It might be a YouTube video. If you're having car problems, whatever it is. And sometimes he takes you on a journey. Sometimes you have to seek it. But he'll start giving you knowledge and understanding. The next thing you know, man, that is a wise person. It did not just happen. It was walking with the Lord, gaining knowledge, gaining what that knowledge means, which is understanding, and then applying it repeatedly, you become wise. You can have knowledge and understanding and not be wise because you don't apply it. But you walk with him. I'm telling you, he'll help you solve your problems. 2 months ago, March the 17th exactly, some of y'all may get the Give Him 15 by Dutch Sheets. And what I'm about to tell you, I'm basically reading his post. Have you ever heard of George Washington Carver? I think most of you have. It's the black guy that ended up being a great chemist. It's about him. And so I want to read this. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. When you understand this truth, that wisdom is a person, and you can ask the person for his wisdom, and he often gives you facts to start, and you understand it, he takes you on a journey, it'll make Proverbs so much more, I can grab a hold of it. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. Understanding. Most of our problems is because we're doing something that's against the proper alignment with Him, either His Bible. When I counsel, got that North Georgia accent. When I counsel, counsel, whatever the word is, C-O-U-N-S-E-L. No, I'm not. Almost always, what I'm trying to do is listen. Where did something in their life not line up with how the Bible said to do it? That's pretty much all it is. And then I'll say, okay, you did it this way. God suggests it this way. That's proper alignment. And the right consequences come from doing it His way. That's really all counseling is. It's helping people to figure out, where in my life am I not aligned correctly? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall... You've heard this verse a zillion times. He shall direct thy paths. So when you start getting frustrated, when you start getting wound up, you start getting lost, you start getting to me like me, I got to walk around, calm back down and go, okay, I don't understand this. I acknowledge you. I submit myself to you. I need you to direct my path. Now, this is simple, but we want it to become second nature because He wants to partner with you to be the best at your job you possibly can be. from planting trees to writing software to running a store. Very different. And then these guys are involved in project management and servers. You know, Jesus, the Holy Spirit knows how to do all of that. Just trust me. It is not hard for him to know how to do it. So we just have to back off and acknowledge him and go, how do we do this? But George Washington Carver was a great example of this. We're going to talk about him. He was born in 1864, right at the end of the Civil War, died in 1943. He was born into slavery, he was born into poverty, but he became an agricultural chemist of international fame. He discovered hundreds of uses for the peanut, soybean, pecan, and sweet potato. And this was important because the South had depleted their ground because of raising all the cotton. I'm not a farmer, but it depleted all the nutrients in the ground. And they were having trouble growing anything. He revitalized the entire agricultural economy of the South with no education. He had over 300 discoveries from the peanut. I've got three, roasted, salted, and I guess that's it, so two, peanut butter. Over 118 uses for the sweet potato. I only know one. It has to have sugar, brown sugar, and butter on it. Soybean. During his lifetime, he applied all this stuff to cosmetics, face powder, lotion, shaving cream, vinegar, cold cream, printer's ink, salad oil, rubbing oil, instant coffee, new stains for leather, from mahogany to blue colors, synthetic tapioca, egg yolk, flour, paints, and what will eventually become crayons, non-toxic colors, from those three things. Who would have thought? He became well known by presidents, vice presidents. Vice president who was eventually president, Calvin Coolidge, acknowledged him. Now, this is a guy with no education. We're going to talk about how he got here. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Mahatma Gandhi recognized him. Thomas Edison, we've all heard about, probably one of the greatest inventors ever, offered him a six-figure income in the 1920s. This is worth a seven-figure income easily now. And he turned it down because there's so much money from what he was coming from with just the peanut. When asked about his achievements, because he went and spoke to Congress, spoke to different places, he said, it is simply this, Proverbs 3:6, which we just read, in all their ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct their paths. And they said, well, we want to know more. And he said, well, this is what I did. Years ago, quoting, I went into my laboratory and said, dear Mr. Creator. That's a great phrase. Now we can just call him Holy Spirit. But dear Mr. Creator, please tell me what the universe was made for. The great Creator answered, you want to know too much for that little mind of yours. Ask for something more your size, little man. Then I asked, please, Mr. Creator, tell me what man was made for. Again, the Creator replied, quote, you're still asking too much. Cut down on the extent and improve the intent. So then I asked a third time, Mr. Creator, he's finally catching on, will you tell me why the peanut was made? I started it. And then the great Creator taught me to take the peanut apart and put it together again, and out of the process have come forth all these products. At another meeting, quote, this was when he was actually at Congress. It was at a committee. Dr. Carver, how did you learn all these things? You didn't go to school. You don't have the formal training. He said, from an old book. What book? The Bible. The senator said, "Does the Bible tell about peanuts?" "No, sir, but it tells about the God who made the peanut. I asked him to show me what to do with the peanut, and he did." So if he's willing to tell him about a peanut, he'll help us with our problems. Let's stand. That is a great story, and it still applies to us. So maybe don't ask him about the universe and what man was made for. Ask him how to do a software program or how to run your machine or whatever it is, and stay there and go, "Mr. Creator, what about this kid that's just gone nuts, or this wife or husband that's gone nuts?" And so, Father, I thank you that there is much knowledge you're pouring out to all of us. Whatever, all our situations are different, but everybody needs knowledge today. We need understanding today that grows into wisdom. And we submit ourselves to you, and we say, "Thank you, Mr. Creator, that you're going to help us solve our problems. And we're not on our own." And I thank you for hundreds of products or hundreds of answers over our lifetime in this room, and that we get to partner with the Creator. In Jesus' name, amen.